Welcome to The Baseball Show, Chicago's only interactive nightly show focused on Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball. And for the first time in 12 years, the Cubs and Sox are both in the postseason. On radio, on app, on podcast. Listen to the show your way on ESPN 1000 or the new ESPN Chicago app. Presented by Goose Island Beer Company and sponsored by the Points Bet Sportsbook. The baseball show on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Go the baseball show on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. You can watch the show on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. I'm Chris Bleck along with Adam Abdallah. All calls welcome, 312-332-3776. We're talking baseball with you here on ESPN 1000. The White Sox are in, the Cubs are in, and we will spend the next hour getting you ready for playoff baseball here in the city of Chicago. Woo. I'm excited.
Oh, Chris, Cubs, ding. White Sox, ding. What? Collision course, ding. I don't know if it's going to happen.
Thanks,
but yeah, I know. I was doing a bit. You know what it is. People who know. If you get the show, you know. But yeah, look, it's great. Both teams are in the playoffs. Yes, more teams make the playoffs. Yes, the White Sox slid to the seventh seed in the playoffs, and they'll face the A's. The Cubs have a really good matchup against the Marlins, and I think that both teams can win. Both teams are favored to win their wild card series matchup and then move on and enter the AL DS bubble and hopefully, you know, make a run of the World Series here.
I've got a fresh programming note here for you, to kick things off here on the baseball show tonight. Tomorrow at 1:45, you can hear the Chicago White Sox take on the Oakland Athletics.
Wait a minute. Right here?
On ESPN 1000. Game one.
ESPN 1000?
Of the AL wild card
ESPN round. Chicago app?
Right here.
You can hear
the White Sox. And then, guess what?
Big tings.
Second programming announcement. On Wednesday at 12:45, you can hear the Chicago Cubs host the Miami Marlins game one of the NL wild card right here on ESPN 1000.
Wait. Hold on.
Boom.
Hold on.
Yeah.
So you're telling me.
Yes.
All you have to do. Download the ESPN Chicago app.
Yep. Check
open it,
out.
It up. Open
Check
it up.
It, out. Check
it automatically
out.
Starts playing.
Yep.
And I can hear
Boom.
The Cubs on Wednesday.
Yep.
And I can hear the White Sox tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then, update. Right after each game, Bleck and Abdallah with the baseball show.
What's up? How's it going?
Recapping the playoffs.
Right here. We'll talk baseball with you.
Absolutely.
And also, it's not just those two games. Major League Baseball playoffs, we will be carrying White Sox and Cubs games here on ESPN 1000. So stay tuned for more programming notes as the baseball playoffs continue here on ESPN 1000.
Big tings.
All right. So there you go.
I
just wanted to get that out there as we start the baseball show. The Sox and the A's, the Cubs and the Marlins. And let's kick things off with our first pitch tonight.
The first pitch.
Play ball.
Throwing out the first pitch, and I have to say, this was rather impressive.
On the baseball show.
Strike. There's your first pitch, and then some.
On ESPN 1000.
So tonight, our first pitch is obviously looking ahead at these wild card rounds. The Sox, they have Lucas Giolito heading to the mound tomorrow against the Athletics, the White Sox. The last week, it's been terrible.
It's been bad.
They have slipped to the seventh seed. The Athletics are good. They're 36-24 on the season. I thought the Athletics coming into the year would be the team that leaves the AL and heads to the World Series. They were my pick. It was Athletics Dodgers to get to the World Series. So I'm not convinced that this is a good thing for the Sox to be facing off against the A's in the first round. And then on Wednesday, the Cubs, they face off against the Marlins. And they have yet to announce who is starting game one for the Chicago Cubs, but Yu Darvish, likely the starter for the Cubs, and he has been fantastic here this season for the Cubs.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's got enough days off in between where it would line up for him to start that game. He's been your ace so far this year. He's been the best pitcher on the team going back to the midway point of last season. I don't see any reason at all why he wouldn't be ready to go on Wednesday. That would mean that Kyle Hendricks most likely would pitch on Thursday. And then if you need to get to Friday, then John Lester would most likely be set up for a Friday start for the Cubs. As far as the White Sox go, that pitching matchup has already been announced. It's going to be Lucas Giolito against Jesus Luzardo. And Luzardo, I believe he's pitching off on short rest because there's been talk amongst White Sox scribes that he would go for a few innings, and being a lefty and the success that the White Sox have against left-handed pitching, they're undefeated against left-handed pitching. They have 143 wins, weighted runs created plus 143 versus left-hand pitching so far this year. So the belief is that he would come in for a few innings and then bring in not like just an okay bullpen, the best bullpen as far as ERA goes in Major League Baseball from the Athletics. So you could bring in some of those righty relievers and try to, you know, get a quick lead, get a quick jump on Lucas Giolito, bring in some relievers and just, you know, keep the bats quiet for the White Sox offense.
Well, we'll dive into both series, but really the short Cliff Notes version of how can the Sox win this series? You got to score early. The A's have such a great bullpen that if you're not scoring runs in the first five innings, there's a good chance you're not going to get out of this series. Mm-hmm. So if you're a White Sox fan, there is a lot of concern there because over the course of the last week and a half, we've seen the bats start to go quiet. And can you generate enough runs early on to keep yourself either in the lead or early in the game or within striking distance? Because don't expect big rallies, crooked numbers to be put up late in games against the A's bullpen. Now, on the other side of things, though, it's not like the A's offense has been spectacular in this season, and their starting pitching hasn't been that great either. So you do have an opportunity here. You're just going to need to see the Sox play their best ball over the course of the next two games to then force a third game if you have to. You know what I'm saying? Like the opportunity is there, but do not get behind these A's, because once you get to the sixth, seventh, eighth, and in the ninth, you're almost done for at that point.
Yeah, we talked about this last week, Chris, like which offense we had more faith in that would be able to flip the switch once the playoffs start. And I'm still going to go with the offense that is sixth in average. They're top 10 in on-base percentage, top 10 in slugging. Like, they're still a good offense. They saw some life late in the game yesterday against the Cubs in the last game of the season. But you said about the A's offense, they're middle of the pack. 25th in batting average, 15th in on-base percentage, 21st in slugging, 17th in OPS, 18th in home runs. They're 8th in run differential. So you're right. You got to jump on them early. You need to avoid that bullpen. And because if they jump on Lucas Giolito, if they get to Dallas Keuchel, and God forbid if they get to a third game, because who the hell knows what they're going to do in a third game based off what went on this weekend.
Well, you roll Dunning out there, and you hope that it's the guy you saw in his two outings before last. That's what you hope, right? You're not going with Lopez.
No.
And Cease, you can't trust Cease at all.
No, so you'd have to go Dunning,
I would imagine.
He's still
looking for the plate.
Maybe a combination of both. Like, would you be willing to roll out Dunning for a few innings and then Cease for a few innings? Like, is that something that the White Sox would entertain? Let's not even get to that point, Chris.
Right.
Let's win in two games so it doesn't even matter, right?
Well, here's the way you do that. Score runs early.
Yep.
If the Sox offense shows up and they score runs early, it's going to put them in a great position to take down the A's. Now, Cubs and Marlins, this is a different conversation altogether because, you know, over the course of the last weekend, Chris Bryant has appeared. He has shown up here to the 2020 baseball season. Mm-hmm. He's announced it to everyone.
I don't give a...
All right.
Yeah, he's there. Yeah. Right. I get it. You doubled your RBIs in one game. Congratulations, sir. Where have you been all season? And his batting average now is 206. Again, congratulations. Let's see you do something here in the playoffs.
Congrats,
if you're
bro.
A Cubs fan, though, if the offense gives you the output that you need and you get good starting pitching from Yu Darvish and Kyle Hendricks, this should be no problem. You should be on to the next round like that against the Marlins.
Well, I mean, look, these teams are two Spider-Mans pointing at each other. They're both, the Cubs are 18th in on-base percentage. The Marlins are 17th. The Cubs are 24th in slugging. The Marlins are 25th. The Cubs are 21st in OPS. The Marlins are 23rd. The Cubs are 20th in runs. The Marlins are 21st. The Cubs actually have a better bullpen. They're 13th in bullpen ERA. The Marlins are 26th in bullpen ERA. So as far as offenses goes, they're pretty much on par. Like, the Cubs are a big favorite to win this series. They're up to like minus 260, 250 in some places to win this series against the Marlins. They should be able to go out with two of their best pitchers, with Yu Darvish, a Cy Young candidate, win that first game, take some of the pressure off for Hendricks. Hendricks should be able to get you that second game. And then this, I think the Cubs can sweep this series. I think this is an easy two-game sweep for the Cubs. The bats have woken up. Chris Bryant maybe has found something. Maybe he needed the Twitter trolls. Maybe he needed the writings in the newspapers and in the publications. I don't know. Whatever you need, man. That's whatever you need. I don't care.
Listen,
you need.
My advice to him is,
I don't give a
before you get all chesty, your four home runs, your .206 batting average this season, your weighted runs created plus on Fangraphs of 76, mm-hmm. which is below 100. 100 is average.
Mm-hmm.
You're at 76, sir.
I don't give a.
How about you produce before we start getting a little mouthy? Can we do that?
I don't think he's getting mouthy.
It's a bit mouthy.
I don't think he's getting
it's
mouthy.
It's a bit mouthy.
I don't think it's mouthy.
Not for my taste.
Well, how old are you? Not
on,
for
I'm
your taste. What kind of type of curmudgeon are you? All he said was, I don't give a
blank. I just want him to be a better ball player.
He didn't go out there.
Can he be a better ball player?
He didn't go out there like it and pull a half-baked and go, blank you.
No.
You're cool,
but he's been
Gordon.
Very,
blank you, I'm out.
He's been very respectful, and he's a good dude.
Yeah.
And it seems a little, like, out of character to be, like, on edge, like, you remember, okay, you know the Tobey Maguire Spider-Mans?
Yeah.
Remember those movies?
Yeah.
And remember when he, like, turns into goth Spider-Man? He's got the hair over his face, and he's mm-hmm. wearing all black? Like, I feel like it's not in his character to be the BA dude.
I don't give a
hardo.
I feel like this is...
Like, Brian,
I feel,
just go out there and perform, man.
I feel like this is more, he found a pair of Ray-Bans and a leather jacket, and now he's...
And Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, that's when he, like, does that weird dance scene, too, right?
Yeah. I think so.
Strange.
I don't know.
So sure. All right, so here's the question on the table for you. Baseball fans, Chicago sports fans, we have two baseball teams in the playoffs. The playoffs start tomorrow. What are the keys for your favorite team, the Cubs, the White Sox? Sox, are you looking to score early? Are you looking for Giolito to dominate against an A's lineup that he can take advantage of? If you're a Cubs fan, are you looking for Yu Darvish? Are you looking for Chris Bryant to show out? Are you looking for Ian Happ to lead the way like we've seen for many parts of this season? We'll take your phone calls at 312-332-3776. Your calls here on The Baseball Show next.
The Baseball Show with Black and Abdallah. Weeknights at 6 on Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
We're taking your phone calls. It's the Baseball Show here on ESPN 1000. Cubs, White Sox fans, the show is for you. The playoffs start tomorrow. How far do you think your team will go, and what's your key for the Cubs and the White Sox to advance out of the wild card round? We go to Al in Lamont. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Al?
Hey, guys. Great show. All right, Sox, here's my theory. First, we don't need you're our manager to jack up the lineup. Let's have the right lineup in place to win this series.
Where do you want Robert? Where do you want Robert in the lineup?
Six.
Okay.
I want. I'm gonna quick lineup here. You got Tim Anderson. I got Moncada. I got Abreu. I got Eloy. Hopefully he's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
McCann, Robert. I do not want to see Mazzara ever play again. You put Engel and then Madrigal. That's our lineup. Stick to it. Play every game for the rest of the playoffs. Let's see how far we go. I think we can get to the ALCS with that lineup and possibly get to the World Series.
I agree.
Al, did you have Cubs thoughts too?
Cubs got an easy pass. I'm not a Cubs fan, but you beat the Marlins. I think you can, if Fried has a hiccup in the first game against them with the Braves, I think you can win that series. And then I see Cubs, believe it or not, Cubs-Cardinals to go to the World Series.
Whew, that would be something, wouldn't it?
Thanks for the call, Al. We appreciate it.
That would be something. I agree with him with the Sox call. Yes, the lineup needs to look like they did in the end of yesterday's game, and during the whole regular season, besides the last week of the season, right? Like they chose to be cold at the worst time. You know, like the slump couldn't have happened at a worse time. Hopefully, it's out of their system. Well, and Aloy has been meeting the media a little bit earlier today and said that he feels fine right now and he should be. He's hoping to be playing, you know, in tomorrow's game.
Let me ask you this though: when the White Sox were mashing this season, did it come against stellar pitching? It came against some good pitching at times, but mm-hmm. I mean, the Indians have a great pitching staff. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you slump, and then you head into a series against the Cubs. The Cubs are playing well, right? Like, they're okay right now.
Yeah.
You face Darvish. Remember, we were talking about Darvish heading into Friday's game. He pitched well again. You know, like, so is this White Sox lineup good enough to beat really good starting pitching, which they will see in the playoffs? Luckily, the A's don't really have that. But after this round, when you get to the divisional round, and you have to face off against the Minnesota Twins or the Houston Astros, do you have enough? Can you get past really good starting pitching in the additional rounds to then get all the way to the World Series? I'm not sold. I thought a week and a half ago, yes. But my mind has changed to an extent based on what I've seen, the output that they put together. What, they went 2-7 against the Indians this season?
Mm-hmm.
And then this last weekend against the Cubs, it was no good.
No, I agree with you. But I think that, you know, my thought as I was trying to get it into my head, it altered itself. Does that make sense?
It mutated.
Okay. Because my response to you is going to be, look, when they get into the ALDS and the ALCS, should they make it there? You're playing 5 games in a row, and you're playing 7 games in a row. Once you get to the World Series, there's going to be traditional days off. Even though there's no travel, they're still going to have the traditional days off.
Yeah.
But then I thought to myself, oh, well, who starts for the third and fourth for the White Sox if they need it, or if they need to start a fourth starter, if Giolito can't go on short rest? And, like, my brain, like, almost shut down on itself. Because it would benefit them to face the worst pitchers from the Astros and, you know, should they move on. But also, it would benefit the Astros to face, like, you know, Dylan Cease and Dane Dunning.
Well, yeah, but, like, even when the series end, the next series don't start until Monday.
Yeah, so you've got time to line it up.
So the weekend, you know, based on what takes place, no matter what happens with the White Sox, they're not playing Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
So then rolling that into Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week of the that first round that divisional mm-hmm. series, mm-hmm. that's going to be I get it that at a certain point you're not going to be able to use someone from a Thursday to Monday, but, like, you know, Lucas Giolito pitches on that first game that we're going to see tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be okay for Monday
Sox get there. Yeah, yeah. Everybody that pitches tomorrow and Wednesday should be okay to start their series, you know, Monday and Tuesday next week. I don't know what the days off are like once you get in between the, you know, the DS and the CS, once you get between the division series and the championship series. But, I mean, it should be, you know, you're right. They haven't done well against good pitching.
312-332-3776. All right, here we go. Tim on the south side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Tim?
Oh, hey, Tim.
What was the question you asked me on Friday when I hung up? Because I hung up, you said which RBI was
your favorite from Chris Bryant. At the point, he had 5. Which one was your favorite?
Well, my favorite was the Grand Slam on Saturday, the home run yesterday.
But 2 days of the season?
Yeah.
It really didn't come off of good pitching, so you're right. I mean, Dunning and Lopez, I mean, come on. You're right. But you guys read numbers from the Chicago Cubs about their hitting, about all of that. Chicago Cub fans go on wins and losses. You know, that's how they judge their team, their general manager. That's how they win the World Series. Because if you win 4 games and the other team loses 3, you win the World Series. The more games you win, not your batting averages and what the games. The White Sox are 21-3 against the Kansas City Royals and 14-22 against everyone else. And you guys, forget that. You guys, well, this guy's batting this and this guy's batting that. Mm-hmm. It's coronavirus numbers. You guys are just dumb Sox fans, so I take that. I understand that. I mean, Chris, you're all right because you're a diehard. But I actually heard Jonathan Hood this morning say, this is the worst Chicago Cub team that ever won a division. I mean, he's actually saying that, but he's just dumb Sox fan, too.
No, I heard him. I kind of agree. I agree with that. You don't agree with that, Tim? You think that this Cubs team is rolling, that they're really to be reckoned with in the National League?
Has experience to win a World Series more than the Miami Marlins, more than the White Sox. The White Sox are the Marlins right now. They snuck into the playoffs. They snuck in as a seventh seed. They should have won the division, and the Cubs put a stop to that. Thank you. All you had to do was win yesterday against a backup team, and you couldn't do it.
Tim, I know that...
All you had to do was win against a backup team, and you couldn't do it.
Yeah, no, it's true. They didn't. I'm with
you. So we gave you a ticket to Oakland. Thank you. And my Wilson Contreras is now my favorite player, mocking Timmy Anderson's bad flip. Now Timmy is all upset. You know, you guys are such hypocritical. There's not one Cub fan on ESPN with any kind of spunk.
Sylvie's got spunk.
Oh, they call him spunk. They call him Spunky Silverman.
What are you doing, Tim? You know he has spunk.
I actually heard Fred Huebner say, and he was on with his partner, because I said, you guys don't root for the Cubs. Why are we rooting for the White Sox? They lost 10-0 last night. Why aren't we happy? And then the other guy goes, oh, no, we're happy. And Fred Huebner goes, no, I'm not. I'm not happy. I don't want the Cubs to win. He's honest. Chris, you're honest. But you know what Kaplan is? He's a wishy-washy. He goes from team to team. We don't have a guy that is legitimately a Cub fan, and that's why I have to call every now and then. Just to tell you guys, you're 14-22 against good teams and 21-3 against the crap team. The Cubs have four teams in the playoffs. Four teams in the playoffs. Did you guys say that?
Tim.
What division is tougher?
Tim, what about Spunky Silverman?
What division is tougher?
I almost broke you there, didn't I?
What division is tougher?
Tim.
How many teams are in the playoffs? Milwaukee, St. Louis, Cincinnati. You guys are writing all. They're all in the playoffs.
Tim, who won more games this year?
Say what?
Who won more games this year?
Minnesota, Cleveland, and the White Sox have 20 games against Detroit and Kansas City. 20.
Wait. No. Cubs, Sox. Who won the most games?
Pirates
in there, too.
Who won more games this year?
You got an answer?
Oh, my God.
The Baseball Show.
On Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Rudy in Cherville, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Rudy?
Hi, guys. You know, Tim sounds like a great guy, but could you remind him that the Cubs have won one World Series in the last 112 years?
I think you just did.
Okay. I don't know if it's a key or not. I don't know the manager of the Marlins or Oakland, but I think this is first time around in the playoffs for Ross and Renteria. Is that going to make a difference?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, Bob Melvin managing for Oakland, and then you have Don Mattingly for the Marlins, who's been very – I mean, listen, the Marlins were the team, as we got things going with this baseball season, they're the ones that had the COVID-19 scare, still found a way into the playoffs. That's pretty impressive.
No, it is, and I think that, you know, I think that Renteria has a lot of experience, but Sox fans will tell you that he is the reason that they lost a few games this year. Like, he's absolutely the reason, you know, bringing in Rodon with the bases loaded was a horrible mistake last week. I think that if you're looking at the two teams, right, if you're looking at the Cubs and Sox, and the Sox have the more veteran manager, obviously. Renteria has been a manager longer than David Ross, right? But I might trust David Ross more in
the
bullpen
the
situations.
Ross or Renteria?
Yeah.
Yeah. And listen, I don't think David Ross is as good as Joe Maddon.
No.
The season started for the Cubs. There was a lot of social conversation here in town about how now everything's turned around because David Ross is the guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to deal with Joe Maddon and his Joe Cool ways. No meetings.
Who's
and,
this guy?
And show up when you want to. And
American
hey,
Legion
American
Day.
Legion Day with goats in the outfield.
Isn't
right?
every day American Legion Day because you're not supposed to get to the ballpark that early?
Well, it doesn't matter. That okay. ruins the narrative for some.
Oh, sorry.
But I think Ross has done a pretty good job to this point in this first season. A lot to deal with, a lot to juggle, COVID-19. And, you know, the Chicago Cubs were the only team in all of Major League Baseball that had zero positive COVID-19 tests the entire season.
Mm-hmm.
Give them credit for that.
Oh, absolutely.
The management and the ability to do their business, to show up to the ballpark, to have everyone ready to go, accounted for each and every day. That is a task that some teams failed miserably. The Cardinals, the Marlins.
Mm-hmm.
The Cubs were able to get through it. And then in game, you know, David Ross knows these players. He's been there. He's been in playoff series. I would say all the credit goes towards David Ross in this conversation, and I do not trust Ricky Renteria. And that's why when we started this show talking about how can the Sox win, you got to score a lot of runs, you got to score them early. Take the decisions out of Renteria's hands, right? The offense needs to show up and to mash.
Mm-hmm.
And if this is a tight game late where the bullpen decisions are going to matter and pulling guys in and out of the lineup to try and get the best bat in there late against Oakland relievers, I don't trust Ricky to get it done.
No, absolutely not. I think that you can ask any Sox fan, they'll say the same thing, because it seems like Renteria's time is just reaching into a bag and pulling names out of a hat when he goes to relievers. You know, he's leaving Cordero in for too long. He's putting Rodon in when he hasn't made a relief appearance in years. Setting the lineup the way it is set, you know, batting Robert so far down. I think that Sox fans are kind of done with him, and I think that, you know, Ross actually having the playoff experience it will help in this situation for sure.
Mike tweets us at Chris Black and at Adam A. Abdallah. We talked to Southside Tim.
Yeah, a pretty cute team there. You can hit all the home runs you want. Defense never slumps. Pitching never slumps.
A little bit ago, Mike says, to back up Southside Tim, as a fellow Cubs fan, the AL Central combined wins had 155. The NL Central was 143. Oh, wait, that actually means Black and Abdallah are right. Take that. Hashtag Spunky Silverman. And I agree. If anyone has spunk, it's Sylvie on this staff, especially if we're looking at Cub fans only.
Yeah, like let's not say there's no real Cubs fans out here, because Sylvie has been taken to the woodshed for pulling his hair out over the seventh game of the season in a 162 game season.
That's a great tweet from Mike.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's go to Bob and Juliet. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Bob?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Please tell me I'm wrong. The Cubs, to their credit, are now seventh in the MLB payroll. They used to be two or three, and they couldn't make it past, couldn't even make it into the playoffs some years. So now they're number seven, and they face, tell me I'm wrong, is this Derek Jeter's team where he took ownership, he sold everything, Giancarlo, and they have a 34?
Yeah.
And they have a $34 million payroll
versus
the Cubs' $75
million. Mm-hmm.
And let me guess, the Cubs are favored to win.
Yep. Oh, yeah, they are by a lot, by a lot.
Yeah.
I can't believe this. It's okay, what are we missing here in Chicago where we spend all this money and Kansas City makes it to the playoffs? You know, these lower.
Well, I think the team you're looking for there, the example is your number one seed in the AL. The Tampa Bay Rays, payroll of $28 million, 28th in baseball. They're the number one team in the AL, beating up on the Yankees all season long. I mean,
what is wrong? Yeah, what is wrong with the Cubs? I'd like to hear your comments, please.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Bob. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, I mean, what's wrong with them is that they're not performing up to the baseball card is what people will say. Like, these guys aren't making a lot of money. The money went to John Lester, who I think has been well worth his contract the past few years. Maybe not this year, but the past few years. Yu Darvish is proving to be worth his contract the last season and a half. I would say that Jason Hayward, while...
Played well this year.
He played well this year. I think that what you don't...
Rizzo?
You don't get,
you know, the money you spend for Rizzo is good. Right?
The money you spend for Rizzo is good. Bryant's cheap. Baez is cheap. Contreras is cheap. All these guys are cheap except for Hayward. And look, paying for Kimbrel was bad because he hasn't shown up, right? But he's been pitching. He pitched well in September. Okay. So he's been pitching well as of late. And you're going to need him if you want to make a run at the World Series. I just don't think that the guys that are performing, you have to look at how the payroll is spread out.
I would say this. The name that's making a lot, the base salary, would be Craig Kimbrel. And now he has to show up here in the playoffs and be that closer that they're paying for. You said that Bryant is cheap. Bryant's not actually cheap. He just doesn't have a new deal. He's arbitration eligible after this season. He's making 18.6 for this season, which... in 1 year is like third on the team, but he doesn't have that big fat contract owed to him in the future at the moment.
Yeah.
That's what he wants.
Okay, but I would say that that's not a poor spending of money. Like if at the beginning of the year,
paying for what you get for
it,
you didn't produce this year.
But you didn't know you were going to get that this year.
So if you went into
the beginning of the year, you said, we're going to give Chris Bryant's going to make $18 million, to be like, bargain.
Right. The names you would look at for the Cubs would be Jose Quintana.
Mm-hmm.
You would look at Craig Kimbrel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, outside of that, Hendricks, Lester, Rizzo, Bryant, Hayward, Darvish. Those are all names that you expect to be there. Baez, Schwarber, Contreras. You know, like that, those are the guy. That's the heart of your team. Now they have to produce, and that's what people are asking for. That's what you just said, Abdallah. Like, they need to live up to what we thought they were going to be after that 2016 season.
Yeah, but I think the three guys, Lester, Yu Darvish, and I even think Hayward has been worth it. I know he struggles offensively, but what he does in the clubhouse, what he does defensively, I think is worth his contract.
Let's go to Joe in Beach Park. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Joe?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I got a couple things. First off, I really feel like Ricky Renteria is quite a bit of blame for the Sox losing over the last 10 days. Just several. He's outmanaged all the time. It's like he, with the bullpen, he just takes a dart and throws it at a dartboard, and that's what reliever comes in. It's not who's working effective. It's not anything like that. And then when you have a hot batting lineup like they did Saturday, you know, he goes and changes it up back up on Sunday and just leaves Encarnacion in. And Encarnacion just doesn't hit anymore. He hasn't hit all year. At what point do you give up on him and let McCann hit in that spot?
Right, that's a good call. Yeah, and we'll talk about it. I mean, and thanks for the call, Joe. Call again. And that's a question that Sox fans have had all season. James McCann has played outstanding, but where do you fit him into the lineup? And does Edwin Encarnacion get pulled in these playoff series for the bat of McCann? And then what do you juggle with? Okay, is McCann just your DH? Do you figure something out? Do you maybe put Grandal as your DH? You put McCann as the catcher? I mean, these are all things that you hope that Ricky has fine-tuned heading into the playoffs. Unfortunately, like Joe just mentioned, over the course of last weekend, you still see these mistakes in the lineup.
Yeah, and I think that that's what, you know, Joe echoes the sentiment of every Sox fan,
yeah,
of that.
Well, McCann's been awesome.
And I could, look, if they lose in the wild card, look, I think this is like a Joe Maddon situation where instead of... Unless they win the World Series, he's not coming back next year. You'll find someone else to manage
his team. If they get to the ALCS, you think that he's going to get fired?
Sorry.
Well, I mean, it depends on who's out there.
I mean...
And how serious is Rick Hahn about competing for championships?
You have to be.
He talks about it all the time, and I appreciate that, and I love that they have a goal to win championships. If they want to win championships and he is a part of the reason why it's not happening,
mm-hmm,
gotta move on. I agree with you.
Yeah, and I think that they will because they want to be serious about it. You're not doing all this just for funsies. What is this? Funsies?
From Wrigley on the north to Guaranteed Rate on the south.
This is the Baseball Show on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
The whole no fans in the stands to this point during the baseball season has not bothered me. I think it's going to be weird tomorrow for the playoffs. A part of like the charm of the Major League Baseball playoffs are the great crowds that show up for those teams who make the playoffs. You know, the rally towels are waving. People are, you know, it's starting to get a little cooler out in a lot of northern cities. So people are bundled up and you got fall baseball taking place. Like, when you think about great playoff moments, you know, obviously what's going to take place on the field is going to take place. But I feel like some of that excitement, I think we're going to miss some of that tomorrow.
That's why I'm hoping the Cubs don't blow it up, or if they do, they try to improve the team. You know, they try to, you know, maintain.
So the fans can get one last look at this group of the core four?
Well, no, just be good next year, and the White Sox continue to be good, so we can actually, you know, try to have a Cubs-White Sox, because the Cubs-White Sox,
yeah,
I think
I
Anthony
get what you're
Rizzo.
Saying. You want both teams to be good at the same time,
yeah,
so we can
fans.
All go and enjoy
yeah.
it.
Yeah. I think Anthony Rizzo said it with Cap one week, where he was like, yeah, it'd be great to have a Cubs and White Sox World Series, just not this year, because with no fans, it seems it's not as...
I mean, we'll take it. We'll enjoy
it. Oh, absolutely. Look, but at the same time, right. I would love it with fans, and we could like an actual red line series doesn't have the same you know gusto as it does if you're in Dallas.
Yeah, let's talk to Julian, listening to the ESPN Chicago app. He's in St. Louis. What's up, Julian?
Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going?
Good. What do you think?
I just two things real fast. So the keys for me for the Cubs in the playoffs is pitching. I mean, anytime they've had a good quality start, even if they could scrape across one run, I mean, that might not get the job done in the playoffs, but hopefully it is. The second thing I want to talk about, I want to defend Chris Bryant, because you guys have been giving him a lot of grief just for that comment.
Yeah.
He said, I mean, how do you want the guy to respect? Because in my opinion, I feel he has been very criticized like all year and like back from like 2018. Like I get he set the bar so high. You guys say that all the time and we expect good things out of him. But, I mean, what do you want him to say? Do you want him just to say, like, just kind of cower down to that and say, yeah, I'll try to get better? Or do you want him to get fired up and hopefully maybe, like you guys said, this comes with something? I mean, it's better than saying I'd rather have the TVs turned off in the locker rooms or something like that. But, I mean, that's just me. So I just kind of want to give him a little backup there. That's all. You guys put on a great show. Thanks for always keeping us entertained, man.
Well, Julian, and, you know, stay on the line for a second. The one thing I would say is, like I said to Waddle earlier today, I feel like I have split opinions on this, because part of me is like, all right, dude, shut up. And then the other part of me, like you said, is like, all right, use it to your advantage. If you need to get motivated by Twitter trolls, and that's how you come out and you mash the baseball, And you see a cement mixer coming at the play from Dane Dunning, and you blast it. I mean, okay, fine, do it. Like, become a better ball player because of it.
I totally agree. And I feel if he backs it up, I feel we're going to look back at this comment and be like, okay, like it might be like we might look at that as the turning point.
Well, okay, but then couldn't I ask, like, where has this been all season? You're waiting for Twitter trolls to call you out on your five RBI before you decide to do something?
No, I agree, yeah, because, I mean, I'm the first, I may be one of his biggest critics, because I say all the time, like, where is the 2016 Chris Bryant? Like, where is all that we thought? And I totally agree. But I'm just saying, like, you know, if he's using this motivation, like, why are we almost, like, making fun of him for it, or, like, putting him down for it? Like, if he needs to get motivated right for the playoffs, let's get behind him. Say, yeah, shut up to all the critics, and hopefully he just gets it.
You know why, Julian? You know why? Because it's funny. That's why we're kind of making fun of him, because, like, do you expect Chris Bryant? Like, Chris Bryant was, like, the least, if we had to gamble on who's most likely to swear to the media, I would have put Chris Bryant down on the list. One of the last guys.
I thought I knew you.
Him and Kyle Hendricks.
I thought I knew who you were.
What do you mean?
What old blue hair take is this that you're mad for him saying
I'm
the S word?
I'm not mad. I just think it's out of character.
Julian, don't get it twisted. This is just Chris with this take. This old early dinner special take.
It's not an old take.
This forcing a steak and a salad at 5:30 in the afternoon
it's
for dinner.
It's not an old take.
My grandmother's mad at this
There's
take.
There's no old take there.
No, you are. What? How dare he use such language? That's gutter language used by Chris Bryant. Gutter language.
Gutter? Is that what you said? Gutter?
Gutter language. It's one word. Gutter language.
Filthy gutter language.
Well, I mean, what do you do?
I'm not.
You going to put him in timeout?
I'm not saying what I'm thinking clearly. And it is, I just find it funny. It feels like a character turn.
Yeah,
he
put on the Ray-Bans, he flipped up the collar on his leather jacket, and you know, he's gonna roll up a pack of cigs in his sleeve.
Yeah, he's Tobey Maguire in the Spider-Man where he has the emo haircut.
He's smoking in the boys' room.
He's wearing black. I got you.
You know?
But original James Dean hair.
But oh, my ears, he said the S word. Whatever will we do?
Let's go Stat of the Night.
Jombie's on base percentage was .476.
Stat of the Night.
Damon's on base, .324. And Almeida's was .291.
On the Baseball Show.
Add that up and you get...
How many sweep?
What up point do you get?
.1092.
On ESPN 1000.
We have a lot of great playoff action that takes place tomorrow in Major League Baseball, but I want to give a salute to someone who will not partake in the baseball playoffs, and that is Juan Soto. Mm-hmm. Did you see his final stat line for 2020 this season? The Nationals' young phenom. This is from Jeff Passan earlier today on Twitter. His batting average, .351. On-base percentage, .490. Slugging, .695. He had 13 home runs. He had 37 RBI. He scored 39 runs. He walked 41 times. He only struck out 28 times. Jeff Passan says he is the best hitter in baseball. I agree. And he's only 21 years old. And Juan Soto, if you go to Fangraphs, he led the league this year in weighted runs created plus. Average is 100. Juan Soto had a number of 200. The next closest was Freddie Freeman in second place at 187. Marcelo Zuna from the Braves at 179. LeMahieu from the Yankees at 177, tied with Jose Abreu at 177 as well from the Chicago White Sox.
That's crazy.
How about that? So for our final stat of the night before the playoffs start tomorrow, we give it to Juan Soto in that incredible stat line from this season, even though the Nationals missed the playoffs.
Yeah, and it's you know, upsetting that one of the best players in baseball isn't in the playoffs, but hopefully they can get it together and he can be in them next year. But that 200 weighted runs created plus is just, I just kept
it's
staring.
Insane.
Like, I pulled up Fangraphs and I've just been staring at
it. What?
200.
I mean, or like, here's a name, right? Fernando Tatis had all of the press all season long, right?
Mm-hmm.
He had a weighted runs created plus of 149.
Hmm.
Soto had 200. Mike Trout, legendary, right? We always say Trout is the greatest player of this generation, if not the greatest player of many generations, right? Mike Trout this year, weighted runs created plus at 164. Juan Soto, 200.
That's nuts.
It's insane. Again, programming note, White Sox A's tomorrow at 145 right here on ESPN 1000, game one of the American League wildcard series. Wednesday, National League Wild Card Series, Game 1, Cubs, Marlins, 12:45. You can hear it right here on ESPN 1000. Black and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000. We talk about a quarterback change for the Chicago Bears and their 3-0 start coming up in 2 minutes.
This is the Baseball Show with Black and Abdallah.
On Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.